Hey, it's Dave from Matter Hackers. Today we are going to be sitting down with Dylan George from Ultimaker to talk about the exciting new Ultimaker S7.
Hey, I'm here with Dylan George from Ultimaker, and Ultimaker has recently announced this beautiful new machine from Ultimaker, and we're here to hopefully get some insights into the new machine, sort of what you've been seeing in 3D printing, specifically Ultimaker use cases and projects you've been working on. Let's first introduce yourself, Dylan.
Yeah, so nice to be here. My name is Dylan George. I'm an application engineering manager for Ultimaker, and primarily work with our professional industrial customers, making jigs, fixtures, tooling, other various products for their factory line, for their manufacturing sector.
You get to help people with these 3D printers execute really cool projects.
Yeah. I have a really fun job in that I get to just show people how to use the technology, how to get the most out of it, and help them enable to use various materials. Yeah. They can start with PLA and then graduate out through composites and the like. So, yeah.
As everybody at least should in the industry, start with PLA, keep it easy,
yeah,
and then get to some kind of carbon fiber or glass-filled nylons or something.
Yeah.
Cool. So you have a mechanical engineering background. I've actually known you for the better part of a decade or two. So
yeah.
We're friends from way back when, which is really fun. And it's, you tell me about a lot of projects, and hopefully we can get into those after introducing kind of the new S7. But yeah, there's some really cool projects that you've been able to be part of.
Yeah.
The S7, what's new and shiny about the S5 versus the S7? What's the come to market plan for Ultimaker to add the S7 into the portfolio?
So it's really an evolution of the S5. So the S5 has been an extremely successful machine for us. We've gotten a lot of great customer feedback with it, and it's just a workhorse. A lot about the S5 is that it's very easy to use. You can just unbox, plug in, and get to printing. Various fixtures, various tools, engineering projects, and the like. A lot of professional users really like it because they really want parts. They don't want to just fiddle around with a printer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really reliable, easy to use, very approachable. You don't have to learn a whole new degree just to use the machine.
I think Ultimaker for 7 or 8 years has led the market in ease of use. And by that, I think I would define to a new customer, like, if you want to learn nothing about 3D printing and just have the results be the parts, your goal is always the parts. And rarely do you want the machine or the software to interfere with your goal of the parts. And I really think Ultimaker has led that charge, even with the user interface on the machine. So easy to use.
Yeah.
Just drop dead simple. There are a lot of cheaper options in machines out there, but I tell everybody you're going to need like a semi-master's degree in getting used to fixing and repairing 3D printers. Those are great options for a lot of people. But if someone's looking to have, multiple machines or have it in a professional environment, Ultimaker is just always the answer, mostly because of ease of use.
Yeah. And it's high uptime too. You mentioned that you don't have to fiddle with it much at all. If I need a print, I can just initiate the print and then forget about it. I just come back the next day, or I come back later in the day. Mm-hmm. You can check on it with the integrated camera. It's a nice, clear, high-definition camera now.
Yeah.
So that is nice. That's great. But the nice thing about it is it creates product for you, and it doesn't take a lot of your mind share. So you can do other activities while this thing is making the machine that you want to make. So
yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Very cool.
You mentioned the touchscreen. The touchscreen is as you know it with the S5, so it's three simple tiered menu, and if you use a smartphone like everybody on the earth nowadays, then you know how to use this machine. So I love that. One of the nice things that we've incorporated and really tried to again evolve from the S line with the S5 is reliability and repeatability. So even with the print head, there's an all new architecture for the print head, and that we've changed the cooling system, the direction of cooling. So you get a cleaner pathway, you get better cooling for the print cores themselves. So it's a much nicer quality print. And then with the build plate, we also noticed that some users really like to have flexibility with the build plate. So they want a sheet that they don't need to add an adhesive to for most of the materials. They can just start printing. And especially if you use you know, Ultimaker with our cloud print setup or any of the digital factory setup, you can queue prints ready to go.
Yep.
And so if you have a build plate system that allows multiple different types of materials without the need for adhesive, then you just have greater flexibility.
So the new build plate is flexible, which I think is awesome. Being able to pop parts off is so much easier.
Yeah.
And that's great. I will say Ultimaker's been known for its like steady, sturdy glass plate where you just put some adhesive on. Is glass plate an option for this yet? Or do you know if it will be an option for this?
So it's not an option for this yet.
Okay.
So we're starting with the flexible steel plate.
Cool.
But you'll notice there's no grub screws. So there's no need to adjust the build plate. So we still had that with our S5. And so if you ever need to make an adjustment, which we rarely do, then you could. But this new system, we calibrate it when we're manufacturing the printer.
Okay.
So you actually never need to calibrate the bed.
So all the tilt and everything is sort of compensated in the firmware before it delivers.
Yep.
Essentially. Cool. Yeah. And what is... two specific questions. How is it doing bed leveling? Is it the same capacitive that it was using prior?
So prior it was a capacitive sensor. Now it's an inductive sensor.
Okay.
So it quite a bit more reliable, a lot faster, and we get better data with that. So,
yeah. And you can do fewer probes because you trust them more.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So everything about the S7, if you've interacted with an S5, everything about the S7 will be familiar, but improved.
Yeah.
So all that fine tuning we've been able to do over the past couple of years with feedback from customers, we built into the machine.
Cool.
Yeah.
The biggest difference is the look. Looks taller.
Yeah. We got a few inches. It's a similar height than if you had an S5 with an air manager.
So okay.
If you have a Pro Bundle or if you've seen a Pro Bundle in person, if you have the S7 on top of the material station, it's actually the exact same height. So
okay.
If you have a setup that you currently know and love, you don't have to change your infrastructure to install the printer.
And the top, it looks like it doesn't give you more build volume. It's just incorporating the air manager features.
It's incorporating the air manager features. What's also nice is if you open the door, you'll notice that you have a lot more access to the print system. So for you know, any regular maintenance that you do on the gantry system, anything with changing print cores, et cetera, you now have one great big door to open, potentially access. So that's a really nice feature.
Yeah, very awesome. And the cooling. So you said that that you had sort of augmented the management of the cooling. How do you see that as a result on the finished parts? Are parts better, higher quality because of that? I mean, it's like, from what I know very little of, it's like pulling air rather than pushing air?
Yeah. So, well, actually, the opposite of that. So we're ideal state, if you were to do your maintenance on your machine, just like if, you know, we were to change the oil on our car, that our car would last forever. Mm-hmm. And we'd always have the exact performance that we want. But, you know, our days get busy, our lives get busy, and so we don't always do the maintenance when we should. And so, you know, if that scenario plays into account with the way that we used to do cooling, then you might have some print degradation where you might have some issues during printing. That being said, if you keep up with your maintenance, you never see those issues. Mm-hmm. But we want to capture our entire population as best we can, and we want to make sure that the customers get the best product that we can, no matter whether they follow the guidelines or not. And so we really want to help with that and make it, again, ease of use. You just print and it works. So by changing the flow of the air and reversing that direction, we keep that cooling path clear. So we don't bring in any excess material into the cooling path. We never get clogging. And you have a really clean, cool path for thermal management.
So that one time I went 30,000 miles without changing my oil, I'd be okay?
Yeah, you just keep going. Yeah. So, I mean, I know if I never had to change my oil again, I would totally do that.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Electric car, don't need to change oil anymore.
There you go.
Well, very cool. I mean, that's the machine, I think, from my perspective of Ultimaker, you know, the change between the Ultimaker 2 to the Ultimaker 2 Plus was very small. but made a significant result in how the customers perceived and how easy to use the machine was. Yep. Same thing from the Ultimaker 2 to the Ultimaker S5, or the extended to the S5, or like these little iterations that Ultimaker has made in its history that are small, but they iterate on a very robust and easy to use platform. This just seems like another version of that. You went from the Ultimaker S5 to the Ultimaker S7. Few things have significantly changed, but it just gets a little bit easier, a little bit better, and a little bit a broader audience that can now feel like they can use it and they can trust it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I had a 2 and then had a 2 plus upgrade. And even though, you know, both systems have feeders, right? Mm-hmm. By updating that feeder, I got extremely reliable prints mm-hmm. in the process. And then going to the 3, we incorporated a print core system. Yep. So I never have to change a nozzle again. I mean, you don't even have to bust out a tool. And then
change it.
Yeah, it's like your paper printer at home. Yeah. You just pull the cartridge and a new one in.
Yep.
Same thing here is that I print on multiple S5s every single day, and I love them. They're great. And then, you know, if I had these to replace it, I would have even more availability, flexibility, and ease of use. So it's a really nice progression.
Yeah, I just loved Ultimaker's, the R&D's approach to making small iterations that encapsulate more audience, higher uptime, better usability, better user experience in general, and always had, you know, sort of led the market in fantastic print quality as their core.
Yeah.
So onto some of the specific things that you've been, let's just say, printing lately, or customers that you can talk about that have been using cool projects or unique materials. What's the coolest thing you've seen in the last 2 months?
Coolest thing I've seen in the last 2 months. So we had, I know with gearing, so we have a customer that had a specific gear, which, you know, it's funny, gears are really common throughout the industry, right? And you can buy them anywhere and everywhere, it seems like, but there's always a machine where you cannot source that gear. And so there's a main gear in this assembly to drive this roller system, an industrial roller. And the company could not find the product. And so they thought, you know, I wonder if it'll work if we just print this in a PACF. And so they printed that mating gear to tie that roller together in the assembly. And they thought, well, maybe this could just buy for a month.
Yeah, for some amount of time.
Yeah, and we'll find the end product and we'll purchase that and then we're good to go. But the last time I checked, it was still in the machine. I think it's been on 14 months or so now. So if I just keep running with it, if they ever need a new one, it's maybe $40, $50 to print. So
that's so cool.
I love that. It's a real simple thing. But, you know, it's something where you think, let's just try this.
Yeah.
You know, let's just see if it'll work.
This will get us through today.
Yeah. It you know, takes maybe an hour to design the gear and then throw it on the printer and you're done. I think it's fantastic.
That's really cool. Really so cool. Whether it was like the involute curve specificity or the diameter or the number of teeth, it was just a hard-to-find piece.
Yeah, it was a really old piece of machinery. I have an old classic drill press. It's a Buffalo drill press made in the 40s or 50s. And, you know, certain things like that, they're hard to come by with that kind of product. So,
yeah, some pulley on there or something.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I think we do a lot of work with, like, the U.S. Department of Defense. And I think they have the same type of mentality around 3D printing of, like, well, if we make 3D printers accessible, when the time of need is there to just like, I got to fix this thing, then the tools will be there. And even if it's for a short period of time, because the whole, you know, whether it's the Navy or the Coast Guard or the Air Force, they all have supply chain pretty good flows.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's going to be 3 to 5 days before you can get that part in the right place. So we've talked a lot to them about the same kind of thing, like, well, let's try it. And if we got to replace it once a day for the next 3 days before the real part comes in, then that'll get us over that hurdle to keep whatever it is up and running to be able to do the tasks that they need to do. So that's great to hear.
Yeah.
A little carbon fiber nylon gear tooth humming along.
Yeah, why not? I mean, the great thing about these printers is that they're generalists, right? Mm-hmm. So it's another tool in your toolbox. You can use many things to solve the problem, but this is always there and available for you to at least give it a try, right? You never know what you can solve with the machine. So
even fixing stuff in my house, I'm impressed at what I thought was like, all right, this shower curtain rack, it'll be like a week, but then I can get, you know,
yeah.
get it from somewhere else real. And then, like, you know, 5 years later, it's still there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing that, you know, custom brackets and vacuum fittings are very expensive and extremely easy to produce. Yes.
Taylor actually showed me a video of his home shop, and he did vacuum ducts that were connected magnetically, and he just 3D printed all the specific ones that he needed for specific tools.
That's awesome.
He had any of magnets in the four corners. They self-align.
Yeah, that sounds really familiar. I'm doing an exact project
like that right now. Cool. Yeah, it's so cool. That's so cool.
Yeah, adding magnets, adding hardware to prints, it's brilliant. Yeah, yeah, it's great.
Worth noting that I think you've spent the better part of the last year printing with like the BASF Ultrafuse metal, and you've had some success and a lot of learnings there.
Yeah.
What's your perception on the metal applications and how it's currently being used or could be used?
Yeah, it's something that's taken a long time to get where it is. Mm-hmm. What's really great is that the feedstock material is something that's had so much engineering behind it for decades and decades. So it's not some new material that's not tried and true and tested. So I love that. It's really approachable. It's mm-hmm. just stainless. It's mm-hmm. just stainless steel. And so, you know, you can weld it, you can machine it, drill it. It's just stainless steel, which is great. I think for any applications that are within 100 millimeter cubed,
yep,
it's a perfect set. That's really that's where the physics starts to battle you if you go outside mm-hmm. of that. So it's not the material or the printer. It's really just physics. You can't fight physics. Mm-hmm. So within that bounding box, I think you can create a lot of really meaningful projects.
Yeah.
We have a lot of customers that are, you know, industrial processes that mm-hmm. are in higher temperature environments. And so I usually say where, you know, first, you know, understand the application you're trying to create. If you're close or within the temperature resistance setting that you can do it with a polymer or with a composite, do it with that material. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't make all my projects out of super duper carbon fiber or ceramics or right. I pick the material for the job that it's mm-hmm. intended to. And so if you can solve it with a composite or a polymer, great. But you know, it's none of those are going to beat stainless steel.
When you can print it in PLA, print it in PLA.
PLA is an amazing material. Yeah. I do have a fondness for PETG because it's sort of like its stronger cousin.
Yep. Yep.
And it's easy to print. But yeah, I mean, you'd be surprised. You know, it's funny we're going from metal back to PLA, but you'd be surprised what you can do with PLA. I've seen quite a bit of very high force applications with PLA.
Yeah, if it's not high temperature and it's not impact, then PLA is quite often the answer. I've noticed that, you know, I did 10 years in R&D at a giant company, and I had no reference of what PLA even was as a material. But after using it and just sort of challenging it inherently by saying like, well, I'm just going to do the prototype in PLA, and then sort of the same thing with the shower curtain rack. It's like, well, it seems to be doing all right.
Yeah.
No reason to change.
Yeah. Why change it?
That was the easiest way I could get there. And I thought like, well, when it breaks, I'll just replace it. And then, very often it just kind of never breaks. And, you know, we talk about the classic, don't print, you know, PLA parts in the dashboard of your car because it'll melt.
Sure.
Those are, like, in terms of use opportunities, those are like 5% of the use cases, honestly. Yeah. It's like quite often PETG or PLA will get you over that fence.
Yeah.
And coming from industry, choosing nylon or ABS is such like a flinch injection mold material that often someone new to 3D printing doesn't realize how robust and how usable PLA or PETG can be.
Yeah, I agree. And one of my favorite materials I actually was never really exposed to until printing with my Ultimaker 2 back in the day was TPU.
Mm-hmm.
And that's grown to be probably one of my favorite materials, mm-hmm. actually. We use it for, you know, I think TPU, like, it's a soft, flexible material. So maybe I'll use this for bumpers or some sort of protective portion. But we also use it for, like, living hinges. We print, you know, you can print TPU and a stiff material. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted PETG and TPU as the outer surface,
yep,
or as a flexural member within that assembly, it's phenomenal to pair together.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that too. That's I think one of my favorite things about the S7 is that you can, if I switch from TPU to, you know, PC or PLA or whatever I'm going to print with, it's the same build surface. So yeah. I don't need to add a special adhesive there, or, you know, us 3D printing enthusiasts, we have our tricks that we like to use, but this is a generalist machine, right? Yeah. So anybody should be able to print with it.
Yeah. We certainly do have tricks, but I'm glad, you know, blue painter's tape and Aquanet hairspray are a thing of the past, mostly.
I'm glad too, yeah.
I think companies like Magic Goo have really sort of changed the mentality there about, like, all right, here's a specific thing made for the specific application that is for 3D printing and ready to go and works a lot better.
Yeah, Magic Goo is amazing. And we, you know, we've used it on this build plate as well. So if you, we all have our vices. So if you really want to keep using Magic Goo, you can still do that on the S7.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear that the S7, the new platform, sort of as a goal in mind, is just higher usability, right? Like how can we make sure that you have to do fewer things to succeed with more materials? I think the flex plate is a huge piece of that.
Yeah, it's really all about, you know, how many people can easily use your tool, and how often is that tool, in this case a 3D printer, how often is that tool available for use, mm-hmm. right? So it needs less maintenance, it has higher uptime, it's easier to use, and doesn't require the tricks of blue tape and hairspray that we are days of old.
I mean, that was just like 8 years ago, but I think I was still using blue tape 7 years ago.
I'm sure that in the comments people will see us, somebody's going to be like, I still use blue tape and hairspray.
Oh, absolutely.
And hey, more power to you, you know?
I think I still have like many rolls of blue tape in my garage under my 3D printer. I just don't go to them anymore. And I might actually use them for painting more than I do for 3D printing. And I think that's the better ratio to be meeting here.
Yeah.
So just for like real clarity, so we can hit those like marketing points of what's new on the S7.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So marketing points is that even all integrated build volume. So you have your air manager, you have your EPA filter on the back, already with the exhaust fan. So if you know, it'll filter out 95% of ultrafine particles. Mm-hmm. But if you want to have it ready to exhaust out of your facity, there's an area to mount
support
standard. Yep. Cool. Standard exhaust tubing on the back. You have a evolved new printhead. So we have changing cooling airflow, and we have a new inductive sensor, so better reliability, better data.
Still say it takes the same print cores?
Still takes the same print cores. It's a great question. Yep, same print cores. You can use the same materials that you used to with the S5 system. And then we have a all-new build platform. So the actual build stack where the chassis itself, you no longer have the need to make any adjustments. It's already pre-calibrated. So that's really solid. And then you have a new build surface too. So you have the flex plate system where you can print, you know, PLA, PETG, TPU, all the things you know and love. You can print on that surface. And then you have this single integrated door. So it seems like a simple detail, but I actually love it because anytime, again, I print a lot. So anytime I'm reloading build plates or taking parts out, I got to open two doors, and then I got to, you know, load my build plate here. I have two hands, so one for the door, one for the build plate. It's a simple thing, but it makes a huge difference. So,
absolutely,
just extreme ease of use.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you've had the most experience, at least in the United States, with the Ultimaker S7. What do you love about it compared to your fleet of S5s?
I love that it's just done, honestly. Mm-hmm. So it's, I have a lot of tools, and if I have a tool where I also have to make changes upon purchasing that tool to get it to do the thing that I want to do, that could be a fun project.
Mm-hmm.
But if I want a tool that works and it's just done, that's this. I mean, it's for everything from how easy it is to unbox to the fact that I just have to put a power cord in and plug it into the wall and it's ready.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. but also that the something I forgot to mention just now was the HD camera. So we have camera in here too. So you get really good detail with checking out your prints. So if you're printing a new material that you're unsure of, or just an application that's really important to you that you want to keep an eye on, then you can do that. So I do really like that.
Cool.
Also, just, you know, again, simple ease of use thing, but we've incorporated handles into the printer. These are not small machines. So having a dedicated spot for a handle to lift the machine where you want to place it and install it in your workspace, that makes it really easy.
Spool mounting still on the back. The extruders are the same, essentially?
Spool mount on the back, yep. And then, if you don't have the material station, then you can mount the spools on the back. And then, same hardened steel feeders. So it's, you know, ready for composites. It's ready for anything you throw at it. And then if you get the Pro Bundle, then, of course, you have the material station underneath.
Cool. What's the next thing that Ultimaker is working on to improve this? Is it like another more usability stuff, or anything coming?
We have some fun stuff coming. We always like to future-proof our products.
Yep.
So, you know, the hope and the idea in mind is that when you purchase the S7, it should get better as its lifetime goes on. So,
yep. More usability.
Yep.
Cool. Right on, Dylan. Well, thanks for joining us this morning, and appreciate all of your deep inputs on Ultimaker, 3D printing in general. And I'll just take this opportunity to say, I think you're the craftiest person that I know. and like if any project that Dylan puts his hands on ends up being so beautiful, so cool, so perfect, so pristine, and you do it without even thinking about it. So hats off to you and your capabilities. Anybody who through Ultimaker gets to access Dylan George as their application engineer, I think it's really lucky.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me. Yeah, you guys are a great partner, and we love working with you. So however we can help, we want to be the one to do that.
That's great to hear. Well, and we're excited about the S7. We'll obviously always have more information through Ultimaker and through the Matter Hackers channels. So we'll keep everybody posted on everything that counts.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks, Dylan. Appreciate it.
Thanks, dude.